places. He makes flowers grow. God is your oasis, and where His grace is, living waters flow. I know that God is your oasis. In dry places, He makes flowers grow.
God is your oasis, where His grace is living water.
Oh, aren't you glad about it? Let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, yes, now go. Glad about it tonight? Are you really glad about it? After Wednesday night, you ought to be triple glad about it. How many of you appreciate that weighing train stopping off here? Wasn't it wonderful? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Give Him a big hand, have a praise. Oh, hallelujah. I've seen inspired preaching, and then I've seen inspired preaching here Wednesday night. And I could just tell you all were salivating. It was so good. The word of the Lord was just so good. The wagons of mercy, wagons of healing, wagons of truth. I was just overwhelmed by it. I just overwhelmed by the word of the Lord. Do you love the Lord with all your heart? Look at somebody, shake their hand and say, did you get anything off of your wagon? Play it, boys. They'll come to it after a while. Play the song. Sing it one more time. I know God is your oasis. In dry places, He makes flowers grow.
God is your oasis.
And where His grace is. forevermore. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Bow your heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Well, it's just, it's an honor to get to be back in the house of the Lord tonight. What a privilege God has given you and me to be in his house, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Do you love to worship? Even when you don't feel like it physically, we still love to worship. There's healing in worship. There's victory in worship. How many of you want to be a real worshiper? With all your heart, you really want to be a worshiper? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes while we look at our prayer request tonight. Several things we want to let you know about, want to pray for. Benjamin Noah Horniak, he broke his collarbone and may need surgery. They're asking that we would remember, that's Brother John Horniak's son, Sister Rebecca. So, John, is that, did I get that right? John, yes, John Horniak's son, Benjamin. No, who is that?
That's his brother's son.
That's Josh Horniak's son. Yes. Got you. So that's Brother John Horniak's nephew.
Yes.
Right. Let's pray for that prayer request tonight. If you would, thank you, Brother Phil. God bless you tonight. Praise the Lord. Brother Amos says, please remember our law enforcement brothers in their duty. That's a good request tonight. Also remember two very special saints who are facing difficult situations and need to move the Lord in their families. We just commit that to the Lord tonight. Ask God to be mindful of that situation. Here's an unspoken prayer request for Sister Janet and Brother Eugene Kennedy. The Lord knows all about that need. Brother Eugene has a request of his church family. He knows that you have prayed for him many times over, but he needs you. He is so down and discouraged because he has not got the strength to be here. Lift him up in your prayers. He is desirous to be in the fellowship with the saints. He really needs us. So we certainly want to pray for Brother Eugene Kennedy, Sister Janet, that the Lord would just be mindful of that family. God's able to move on their behalf, isn't he? Amen. Sister Victoria Thomas from Georgia called to request prayer for her mother-in-law. She has heart problems. Also request prayer for herself and her two children, April and Matthew, all have ongoing health issues. So we just want to remember that need tonight. I want to pray for Sister Connie Cook, who is not feeling well tonight. Just commit her to the Lord. Please pray for Sister Jaretta Stockton. She's having a terrible time with her blood pressure. It's getting very low. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. Brother Sam Clark needs our prayers tonight. He's sick in body. Also, my wife Glenda is still sick. If you would, I'd appreciate you remember her in prayer tonight. Please pray for Erica, Emma, and Leah Parker. They are all sick with fevers. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Sister Sherry Wiggins says she would like to thank everyone for their prayers and cards. She says she can feel the people's prayers. The doctors tell her she is doing very good and are very encouraged. So somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. And then here a person says, I have an urgent unspoken prayer request. Thank you and God bless. So we just commit those needs unto the Lord tonight. Let me make a couple of announcements. I have a book here tonight that they have these available over in the library. This was written by Brother Newton Bennett. The title of the book is The Root. It comes very, very highly recommended. It's been read by several people, and they just said it's a very, very helpful book. Brother Newton Bennett, I believe, is a pastor out in Arizona, and just want to let you know about that. They have those available over in the library if you'd like to pick one of those up this weekend. Also, we want to welcome to the service Jack and Jean Hummel from Kingston, Tennessee. Where would they be? Would you just raise your hand? Where are they at? Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Glad you're here with us in the service. Praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Do you have an unspoken prayer request? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? Let's sing that chorus one more time as we get ready to pray over these needs tonight. How many of you know that God is bigger than all of our problems? Do you believe that with all your heart, church? Do you believe it with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's sing it one more time. I know that God is your oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow. God is your oasis where His grace is. Living waters flow. Let's join Brother Randall tonight as he leads us to the Lord in prayer. God bless you, Brother Randy. Appreciate you, buddy.
Let's just bow our heads and pray together. Eternal Father, it is such a privilege to be in your house this evening, Lord. Thank you for your love to us, Lord, your mercy, your grace, Lord. Your hand of protection, Lord, keeping us safe, Lord. Thank you for bringing us together once again, Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to hear from you, Lord, to receive strength for the journey. We just thank you for your love and your mercy to us, Lord. We bring these needs, Lord, that Brother Louis mentioned, Lord, that I hold in my hand, Lord. Each and every need, Lord. Yeah, I know you're mindful of each and every one, Lord. Would you stretch forth your hand, Lord, and touch and minister to every heart, Lord. Every need that was spoken, Lord. Every request that was shown by the uplifted hand, Lord. I know you're mindful of that request as well, Lord. Touch every heart, Lord. Meet every need. As our brother would come, Lord, and break the bread of life, Lord, would you speak to us once again, Lord. As you do each and every service, Lord. We're such a blessed people, Lord. We just want to say thank you for the ministry here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word that is so precious to our hearts. Each and every service, Lord. Thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. We ask these blessings and favors in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Appreciate you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, I pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a little song. We've about wore it out, but I believe he's in the house tonight, don't you? How many of you believe that? How many of you brought him with you? How many of you brought him in you? He's in the house. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. A little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, he's in the house. Death had to flee.
Jesus touched this heart of mine, gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Oh, he's in the house. Death had to flee. Hallelujah. I want you to sing this and picture this setting in your mind. They didn't come to Jesus. So don't trouble the master. Your little girl's dead. But Jesus went on anyway. And he went and he said, the little damsel is not dead. She's asleep. And they laughed him. The Bible says they laughed him to scorn. But I'm going to tell you something. If Jesus says it, you better hold your laughing, because it's fixing to happen. This rapture is fixing to happen. They can laugh if they want to. It's fixing to happen. Are you part of it? Are you glad you're part of it? Give him a hand clap of praise.
Little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping.
Oh, think about it, church.
But when he took her by
the hand, he took you by the hand.
She began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
hallelujah. Oh, he's in the house. Death had to flee.
Now there's life
where darkness used to be.
This heart of mine, he gave me life again. I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day,
hallelujah,
there's a light that shines in me.
Aren't you glad for the light?
All the world is here.
Praise the Lord. Our Bluegrass Brothers have got a song tonight. If you'd like to be seated while they come to the platform, get ready to sing. Brother Jackie Benton has a song for us for tonight. Sister Amos Cutts, Sister Lisa Amos Cutts, you have a song for us in the morning, the Lord willing. We get caught up on our songs, and I think that'll catch us up. Give these brothers a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you tonight. Let's sing that chorus once again while they're getting ready. He's in the house. Do you feel his presence here tonight among us? Aren't you glad about it? Sing it, Brother Harry, while they get ready.
He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there is light where darkness used to be. Now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Darkness used to be.
forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, sinner friend, do he die? His hand is gently knocking on your door. Outside, he's waiting to come in. His heart is breaking as he waits for you to wash you free from every sin. Knocking on your door, outside he's pleading to come in. His heart is breaking as he waits for you to wash you free from every sin. Someday he's coming back. We'll fly to heaven's golden shore. A crown of life he'll give on that great day with him. We'll live forevermore. And his hand is gently knocking on.
Glad the Lord found you.
Amen.
You know, I sang this song years ago. Sang it when it was in Pentecostal church. But since I came to this message, it means more to me. And I'm so glad he found me. Amen. I was on the mountain, wandering from the fountain, till I heard my Savior speak to me. Oh, come to me, relenting of your sins, repenting. Oh, I'm so, man, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad he found you? Oh, yes, I'm so glad he found me. With love he found me, put his arms around me, and he led me to the shelter. Now I wander his own, and know the joy of knowing.
with hearts all glowing. Someday I'm going up to my home in glory. I'll walk those streets paved with gold. Oh, I will love him ever, stray from him no never, for he's the dearest friend I ever knew. Glory! And when I see him yonder, my love will still grow fonder. Oh, in that happy land beyond the blue. Oh, I'm so glad he found me. With love he bound me, put his arms around me, and he led to the shelter. Now I'm walking on his own, his own. The joy I'll know with heart on. Someday I'll go up to my home in glory. I walk up straight to glory. I'll bear his glory.
Well, I'm gonna love him ever and stray from him no never, cause he's the dearest friend I ever knew. And when I see him yonder, my love will still grow fonder, up in our happy home beyond the blue.
Oh, I'm so glad he found me. And he led me to the shelter. Now I'm one of his own. Hello, hallelujah. The joy of knowing with hearts all glowing. Someday I'm going glad tonight. Let's say it one more time. Oh, I'm so glad he found me. With love he bound me. With his arms around me. And he led me under the shelter. But now
Jesus. Praise the Lord. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. Aren't you glad you can know him in that way that is so real? Amen. I want to speak to you tonight on the secret garden. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Listen to verse 15 again now. A fountain of gardens, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. May the light to be remembered before the Lord tonight in prayers. We pray. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we approach your blessed, majestic throne, we are so thankful that we can come through your bidding, through your beckoning, through your invitation. For us to approach the throne of God without the blood of Jesus, it must be a terrifying thing. But for us to come, we come before the throne with boldness, with thanksgiving, with gratitude in our hearts. Lord, not only asking for things, but thanking you for the many things you've already done. You saw the hands that were uplifted all over this place tonight, Lord. And I know that you're mindful of every heart, every need or needs that was signified by the raising of the hand. Lord Jesus, I pray you would take your word and speak to us. May there be an atmosphere created in this place tonight that would make us the type of people you want us to be. We want this service to be absolutely everything it can be in its full potential. Lord, if it can be so powerful and so dynamic, whatever you desire for it to be is what we want tonight. We don't want to settle for anything less than what your desire is for this service. We're not going to dictate to you how it should go. Whether we should run, scream, holler, shout, cry, that really doesn't matter to us. What matters to us is that your will is done. Yes. Speak to us tonight, I pray, Father, from your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. I've still been rejoicing over the service here Wednesday night. Oh, yeah. And here we get to have church again tonight. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon. Calamus was the sweet cane. Cinnamon, of course you know, is the rind or the bark of a tree. Both grown in India and in Arabia. Also the trees of frankincense are in Arabia. But yet here we're talking of a Shulamite girl, that her background is from the country of Lebanon, near Lebanon, from a place of high mountains, a poor girl. What in the world is she doing with fragrances like this? How could she have ever had any type of exposure to such stuff? Because it was very rare, very exotic, very hard to come by. Now, notice in the way that she is identified that spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon was all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes. Now, these, of course, are symbols. Trees, we know, represent people. The Bible says the trees of the Lord are full of sap. We know that God symbolizes his people by trees. So here this is, remember my title is The Secret Garden. She is a secret because she is veiled to her contents as far as what she holds. Now in her can be such wonderful, valuable, precious things. But unless you have an eye to see it, an ear to be able to understand it, you'd never know that it is precious. Because you would only judge by what you are looking at yourself. But to him, now this is what we want to see, to him it is very precious and it is very valuable. Now this is not what she sees in herself. As it was common among the Egyptian love stories, the Akkadian, the Babylonian, and of many of the literature and the writings of the times prior to this, and also up to this time, the woman was identified as a garden. Her traits, her beauty, the things about her was identified as fruits and also as trees and identified as fragrances. Now watch in verse 15, a fountain of gardens. So here she's now identified as a fountain of gardens instead of a garden of fountains. A garden that would have many fountains, she is a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters. So she has the ability not only to have multiplied types of plants, but she has plenty of irrigation. Now it wouldn't make any difference how exotic the plants were, how rare they were. If you didn't have the right kind of water, they'd never live. They would die. You might pour a little water on them and they'd go for a while. But I want you to notice about this bride that she is not a fountain of cisterns. She's not a garden of cisterns, or she's not a garden of denominational pools, but she has living water. She don't get all pumped up and primed up from this bishop said this and this one said we could do that, but she contains all this within herself. Now, chapter 4, verse 12 said that she was a fountain that was sealed, or a spring that was shut up, which of course was signified as a personal drinking place of the king himself. But in chapter 4, verse 12, she was signified by this symbol in the gathering places of the water. But in verse 15, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Now remember, you know, whenever we think of Lebanon, there it was where the snow caps were. So coming from the melting of the waters, and the waters would come down through the rushing down. Actually, Jordan River begins there. So the Jordan River was other rivers as they come from this place. So here the bride is identified, her source of water is not from a church system. It is not from a preacher. It is not even from your own emotion. But it is from way up high. It's way up high where it's not affected by the local rains. Whether you get rains or don't get rains, our source is way up high. Amen. I want you to notice, you wonder if the Lord Jesus must have had something like this in mind. In St. John 7:38, when he said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now here the elect are identified as a fountain of gardens, a well of living water, and then here Jesus comes hundreds and hundreds of years after the Song of Solomon says this, and Jesus identifies that those that believe on him, not as the church says, not as your mama says, but believe on him as the scripture says, and that's why it includes Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10, in order to believe on Jesus of this hour, you can't deny Luke 17:30. And that's why though we come to God, the only ones that could have the real fountain of living waters in this hour, they must be illuminated by the Spirit of God for the hour that we're living in. Then Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now I want you to notice now, then the bride, she's being bragged on by the Lord Jesus, and my, she's overwhelmed by verse 12 and verse 13 and verse 14 and verse 15. And then now the bridegroom pauses.
Now he gives the bride a space of time to respond to the complimentary things which have been said from his heart. Now he knows that she cannot perceive this about herself. She is a lowly Shulamite. She is a lowly poor girl that is unworthy to even be in the king's palace. She knows that on her own she would never have cassia and cinnamon and spikenard. She'd never have all of these things. So now she is faced with a dilemma, because the king has now said all that he sees about her, and he tells her all of the things that he has seen, and now he gives her a time to respond. Now what's the bride's desire? Chapter 4 verse 16, the very next verse: "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits." Now, this is her response after the bridegroom has said that she has all of these trees and all of these things. Now, watch what she wants. She desires the company of her Lord. She wants the companionship of her Lord. But she feels so inferior for him to come. So her prayer is that the wind will come and begin to blow on what he sees and the attributes that he says are there, because she feels so short herself. She feels so lacking. You understand? She feels so insecure. She believes what he says, but she can't smell that herself. She can't see it herself. She can't see it on her own. So she's asking for the wind to come. Glory. Now, she asks for the wind to come first. So she wants a moving of the breath of God to forerun the coming of her bridegroom. Now she asks, she pleads for the breath of heaven to forerun the Lord of heaven. Now won't you notice that she is not proud and arrogant in her flesh. Well, I'm this and I'm that and I'm something else. But even though she believes what he's saying about her, yet she still feels within herself, I need that rush of the Holy Ghost. I need that presence of God. Oh, how many knows what I'm talking about tonight? I don't care how long we've been serving God, how long you've been a Christian, my friend, we still need the power of the wind of God to breathe upon us before our lover comes into the gates. She pleads for the breath of heaven and for the Lord of heaven. Now, what's the bride has a desire as well. Now, the bridegroom has a great desire, and that is that he can have her companionship. But the bride has desires in the Song of Solomon as well. Now, let us go back and pick up in chapter 1, verse 2. And I want you to notice now the plea of the bride, and we'll look at a couple of different spots and see what the real bride's desire is. And you check yourself by this, and it'll let you know where you are and who you are. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Now, of course, this is the Shulamite that is speaking to the king. And it is the type, but the antitype is actually the bride speaking to Christ, her bridegroom. And she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, won't you notice that she is focusing on one individual? She don't say let them. So the bride was not a Trinitarian. Amen. So she didn't ask to be kissed by the Father and then kissed by the Son and then kissed by the Holy Ghost. Amen. She knew these three are one. She might have used to have been a Trinitarian, but she wasn't now. Hallelujah to God. She says, let him. I want you to notice how individualized that God wants this to be, that even though collectively we are baptized into the mystical body of Christ, but yet even though it is there as a group, but we're baptized individually into it as well. Now notice what a personal thing that she asked for. The kisses of his mouth. Now you know, studying on the kings of the east, for a king to allow you to kiss the hem of his garment, for you to be allowed to come and kiss the feet of the king. which was the lowest place on his body, it was a great sign of honor. You were given a great honor to be allowed, oh glory, to kiss the feet of the king. Or if he would allow you by permission to take the hem of his robe and allow you to kiss that, you were so honored above all the people in his kingdom. But I want you to know the bride ain't down at his feet. I don't want you to notice she's not down at the bottom of his robe. But she asked for the kisses of his mouth. She is not asking, oh glory, just to be allowed to kiss him. But she knows who she is. And she knows she's not asking anything amiss. She is asking exactly according to her adoption. This must be prophetic for the last day when the bride can say to her heavenly bridegroom, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. In the days of Luther, it might have been this part and that part and that part. But look where we are, right here, my brother. Right up here, hallelujah, where the head is sitting down on the body. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Oh my. Notice the bride's desire. She has a desire for fresh manifestation from his mouth. The bride's thoughts were of her beloved. She wasn't asking about the ball game, the soccer game, the this and that and the other, but her desire was of her beloved. Notice in Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire but thee. Oh children, if that would be our desire tonight. Oh my. Now a kiss was a token of peace. Watch this in Psalms 85:10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. You know where they kiss, don't you? In the person of Jesus. Righteousness and peace. Heaven kissed humanity. And, oh glory, divinity and humanity kissed and merged together in the Lord Jesus when the justice of God was met in the person of Jesus Christ. Then if the kiss of heaven was placed upon the lips of the Lamb of God, it's no wonder that the bride is asking to be kissed from the kisses of the mouth of Christ Jesus. You want to kiss the Pope? That's up to you. I want to kiss and be kissed by Jesus. You want to kiss some bishop? Go ahead and kiss him. I'll kiss somebody's hand. Why would I want to kiss the Pope's hand? Well, I can kiss the mouth of God. Hallelujah! Why would I want to kiss some preacher or this or that when I have direct access to the mouth of El Shaddai? Notice in Colossians 1:21, in you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. What? We receive the kiss of grace. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Mercy and justice has kissed and embraced. Oh, hallelujah, we are no longer strangers in the household of God. Kissing is a token of love. Luke 7:45, when Jesus came into the house, thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Notice she had not yet received the Holy Ghost, but she started out at the right place. She wasn't fit for the mouth yet. Oh my, when I got saved years and years ago, I wasn't fit for his mouth. I wasn't ready for his mouth. But I'm at the mouth level now. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah. I started out at his feet. And that's where every sinner ought to start out. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to wind up right here. I want right there fresh tokens of the manifestation of his very being coming from his mouth. 1 Peter 5:14, greeting one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. A kiss is also a symbol of reconciliation. 2 Samuel 14:33, and Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. Absalom had been rebelling against the king, but if the king did not kiss him, it would mean he had not been reconciled back to the king's presence. You see, when we were in sinners, and many of us even just got saved and never yet fully been recognized in the presence of God with a kiss of acceptance, they've never yet been kissed by the king himself. You see, when we hear these sermons of his words, when God anoints men of God to bring things to us, you believe what you want to about it, I think it's the Lord Jesus kissing us from his word. He's taking his mouth and telling us how much he loves us, how much he cares for. What is it? It's a kiss, oh my, that we are accepted. It is a kiss from the mouth of our bridegroom. Oh, you say, I would never ask him. I do. I want to be kissed by the king. It is my right. We are married. Psalms 45:1, to the chief musician upon Shashanim, for the sons of Korah, Maskil, a song of loves. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Notice, grace is poured into his lips. So the king, I'm talking about King Jesus has grace on his lips. So when you met him at the altar, hallelujah, and he started kissing on you and kissed away your sin, glory to God, you still was not ready yet to be married, but he started kissing away your troubles. How many of you mamas and daddies and your little children fell and they'd make a boo-boo or whatever you called them around your house and they'd want to bring it over to you for you to kiss it? Oh, you know there's no power in your kiss, but they didn't know it. Apparently they must have felt like it was. How many boo-boos have you mamas kissed away? How many sore places have you daddies or grandpas made better because that child's faith in your kiss done something? Oh my. Well, what about the bride coming into the presence of Christ when you're so down and so weary or you're sick or you're troubled and the Lord Jesus comes near you and you may not shout? Sometimes you don't need a good shouting spell. You need a good kissing, and the lips of the Lamb of God begins to kiss away your heartaches and your trouble. Oh, the bride says, kiss me, kiss me. Remember the prodigal son in Luke 15:20. He arose and came to his father, but he was a great way off. His father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. But where? On the neck. Not on the mouth. The bride ain't wanting Jesus' neck. That was a good day, but that's a day gone by. Come on, children. She must have Christ, or she will die. She must have the freshness of his lips, or she cannot live. She cannot live hearing about a historical Christ that even moved 5 years ago or 2 years ago or last month. She must have a Jesus that is so alive that he can discern her very heart tonight by the word. She must have a Jesus that she can see in her midst with the wagons bringing goodness from the things of God. Oh, it's not enough for her to have a Jesus that moved in 2014. She needs the kisses of his mouth right now. Oh, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now I'll tell you one thing, the bride is not satisfied with one. She's kind of hoggish when it comes to kissing. She wants multiple kisses. I don't think just about the natural kiss. Let's just think about what God's got before spiritually. Let him kiss me with the kisses, plural, of his mouth. The tenderest portion of affection. Notice this in Hebrews 1:1. God who in sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. But God couldn't kiss you through Moses. He might smack you, he had such a temper. Amen. Jeremiah might rebuke you. But God needed to get a mouth that could pucker. You understand what God had to do in order to bring grace? He had to change mouths. Glory! The prophets were the justice of God. God needed a kisser. Oh, hallelujah! The prophet said the justice of God, this will happen and that will happen and that will happen. No wonder the scripture says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. God who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So now the lips are not saying, thus saith the Lord, you're lost. Thus saith the Lord, you're going to hell. Thus saith the Lord, the wrath of God. Oh, but they're speaking something different. What she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Tokens of love and goodwill. Means of communication. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Manifestations of his love and favor. Now you would have never been able to convince her that she was deserving of such had he not preached her into a position to give her faith to ask for such. She is not asking this on her own. She has been built up by hearing these compliments. Now, let's look at a few kisses, shall we? When we first come to him, we certainly could not have the kiss of communion. The kiss of exception. The kiss of consummation. We needed the kiss of reconciliation. Now, all of us know we have different kisses for different people. You won't kiss your mama the way you do your wife, or at least I hope you don't. And you sure won't kiss your daughter the way you do your wife, or you know what I'm saying? So there's different types of kisses that are suitable for who you're kissing. You won't kiss me, you better not. There's only a few folks I allow to kiss me. We all ought to be the same way. And I don't go around kissing on folks. You know why? I don't have the right. Praise the Lord. I know a lot of preachers are kissing preachers. Hallelujah. But kissing ought to be reserved within the rights. That's why we preach against kissing before folks get married. Because it belongs to married folks. That's why Jesus don't kiss around on the denominational whores. Why? Because this type of kissing belongs to him and the bride. Communication. But what did we need when we come to him? We needed a kiss of reconciliation. To be able to feel like that we were accepted to that degree. Now notice the bride multiplies the form of this and says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. As if though they were plural. Now the bride's understanding has certainly been broadened to know communion and fellowship is not in full force just when you come to the king initially. So when you come to the king, he by his grace reached out his scepter to you and he come down and he kissed you as it was and he has told you, I accept you, you are saved. Amen. The sad thing about it is that's as far as a lot of folks ever go with their kissing. You know, then there is a kiss of exception to where you are accepted. Now, many of the folks in the East still do this today, and they will come in. If you're not welcome as a friend, they will not kiss you. They will not. This is why Jesus was treated this way in Simon's house. He was treated this way on a specific purpose in order to humiliate him. Simon did not want him kissed, but this woman saw his need. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. She was seed. She was bride. She wanted to do some kissing on the son. Amen. It was just something in her. She wanted to do some kissing on the son. Why? If you don't want to make love to this Son of God, it's because you ain't got the Holy Ghost. If you want to make love to a basketball or a football or volleyball and don't want to kiss the son, you need to get the Holy Ghost. Oh, my. The kiss, then she moves from the kiss of reconciliation to the kiss of acceptance. Now she can look at him with a little bit more open face and know that she's saved and she's on her way. But there's still more to go. The kiss of daily communion. You married folks kiss before you go to sleep at night? Don't raise your hands. It's amazing to me that the devil tries to get our young folks to start kissing one of the first things before they ever get married. And a lot of times it's one of the first things that grows cold in the marriage. Well, I'm going to preach with or without you. It's up to you all whether you want to get with me. Now, in the daily communion, there's something about that. Now, you realize holding hands is a wonderful thing, but you realize a man and a woman can hold hands for 75 years and never bring forth a child by holding hands. But there's something about kissing that leads to, we know, because some of the sex glands are actually in the lips. And there is a power of stimulation. Now, don't turn red face and act like you know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all sitting there like, you know what I'm talking about. What's it? Come on, children. You live in Laodicea, the gutter of all ages. So there's something about kissing. Hey, it's the same way with the bride in Christ. There's something about going to church. Oh, praise the Lord. There's something about reading your Bible. But there's something about the King kissing you. And something about you kissing Him back. I mean, it fires you up. Hallelujah. It fires you up. It releases that something on the inside of you. Oh, my. It really stirs you up because you love Him so much. And you know He loves you the same and even more. Now some of y'all just sat and hold hands with Jesus. Love you. You doing okay? That's good. I haven't spoke to you since Sunday, so I thought I'd speak to you again since I missed Wednesday night. But the little bride in her heart around the world, she just said, kiss me, Jesus. Kiss me. Praise the Lord. I know some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. I feel sorry for you. This is what a person can have with Jesus Christ. The kind of relationship that you are so stirred by Him. As you saw our brother Jackie Benton saying, you're singing to my all of these years. He's been singing all these years, serving God, all these years, preaching and going, and it still stirs him up. If I didn't know better, I'd think he'd been kissing around on the Lord, wouldn't you? Oh my, this is what the bride is wanting. The kiss of daily communion. Then the kiss of daily communion merges on till it becomes a kiss of reception. The kiss. Oh my, what are we longing for, children? The change of these bodies. No wonder she said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. What are we longing for? The kiss of consummation. to where he will kiss us when we all gather around the throne of God, and it will be consummated, and he kisses the entire bride. You imagine when millions of the elect that have lived down through these church ages will be gathered together, and from the kisses word, inspiration of his mouth, whatever it is he will say to his elect, my Lord, and we will receive the kiss of the king, and we will in turn go back, Lord Jesus, we worship you. Lord Jesus, we adore you. And we will be kissing him back from what the grace that is on our lips. Notice she says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. You see, the song, the subject of the song was Solomon. It's not the coming to the Savior, but it's the coming of the Savior. The Song of Solomon is not about you getting saved. It's about you and him and fellowship. A Christ that is loved will be a Christ that is longed for. Love breeds love. A Christ that is loved is a Christ that is longed for. A Christ that is ignored is a Christ you can skip out on. Praise the Lord. Me and Carol saw a sign the other day at Cracker Barrel that said something about, don't marry the person that you can live with, marry the person you can't live without. And that's the way Jesus was with this bride. He said, I can't live without her. She gives me a purpose of being. I've got to have her. Oh, I hung the sun, I hung the moon, I hung the stars. I created the universe. I casted it out there by my spoken word. But I can live without the sun. I can live without the moon. I can live without the universe, but I cannot live without my bride. He is not going to marry a people he can live with. He married a people he could not live without. Hallelujah. He would not have purpose of being without the elect of God. You see, love, there's something about love. It yearns for fellowship. Watch Brother Branham says it this way in the second coming of the Lord. Can you imagine coming in at nighttime, tired and weary and worn? If you're a farmer, a mechanic, preacher, whatever you are, you come here. And when you go into your little home, you're longing till you can get there. You open the door and a sweet little wife stands there and she greets you. She's all prettied and cleaned up. Which more than likely, sisters, don't mean rollers. The rollers were earlier in the day. She's prettied and cleaned up. Well, I figured y'all get quiet on me. Even the brothers ain't gonna say amen now. Even the single brothers over here ain't saying nothing. Looking for a girlfriend, I guess. Huh? Trying to gain points. Now he said she's all prettied and cleaned up. She walks over and kisses you on the cheek. She said, Dad, you're tired. She sets you down in a chair. She sets herself down on your lap. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Pardon me. I think I might do that to Jesus. Come here, Lord Jesus. Mwah. Sit down right here, Lord. You've been laughed at in Laodicea this week. They've made fun of you. They've called you Allah. They've called you everything in the world. Some folks say you don't even exist. Sit down here, Lord Jesus, and let me sit in your lap. Oh, Jesus, let me tell you, you're the morning star. Let me tell you, Jesus, you are everything. Let them make fun of you if they want to. I'll love you, and I'll kiss you, and I'll adore you. Hallelujah! Let me drive away the curse of Laodicea. Let me drive away all the filth that they've said this week by the kisses of my mouth. She's all pretty and cleaned up. She walks over and kisses you on the cheek. She said, Dad, you're tired. She sets you down in a chair. She sets herself down on your lap. She puts her arms around you. And she pats you. It just seems like then that you're not tired. Something picks you up. It's something that God gave you for that purpose. Then my sisters, no matter how good of a mother you are, if you're not doing this, you're not doing the other part of what God wants you to be. Uh-oh. Sounds like we need to do a family series again. Uh-oh. Now he said it's part of you if she's a true wife. But what if those lips had kissed another man that day or some other time? What if you're conscious of that? What if them arms had hugged another man? She's absolutely an abomination on your lap. That kiss burns like a Judas kiss. Can you imagine when these bobbed-haired, painted-faced Jezebels go to open up their doors in the morning? They'll go to the church door. Oh, Lord Jesus, come in among us. They'll be dressed so ungodly and filthy they look like half of them belong to a whorehouse. Come on, children, don't get quiet on me. It's time for it to be preached straight and hard. Can you imagine that Jesus walking in that place and letting the lips of a whore smack him on the mouth? Some prostitute, some filthy denominational system, and let Jesus sit down there and that prostitute sit in the lap of Jesus Christ? Well, let me bring it on down beyond the denomination, because it don't stop there. It's the same way with you. Even though you don't belong to a denomination, yet you fool with the world and live like the world and act like the world and talk like the world and come in your own Sunday morning and act like an angel with wings on your back. Don't you think he's going to take the kisses of your mouth? Woo. Notice he said those arms, you'd rather they wouldn't be around you. Oh, she may be all prettied up. Her hair may be curly. Her eyes may be brown. Her cheeks may be rosy. Her little skirts be iron. She may be so pretty. But if that real, genuine, godly respect and love and confidence isn't there, she'd be better off to stay off your lap. You don't want nothing to do with her. She's an indebtedness to you. I don't care how pretty she makes herself. She's still wrong until she's proven she's a real, genuine sweetheart, loving nobody but you. And may I say it's the same way with a man. A man that walks in the door and the wife knows he's been with this woman and that woman and another woman, it's going to be hard for her to look at him with respect. It's going to be hard for her to treat him as a son of God if he's living like a lizard and a snake and a low-down serpent out here in the world. Come on, preach, Brother Donnie. Children, it's time that the people of God line up and accept who we are. We are the bride of Jesus Christ. And if we're on the bride, we want to sit on his lap. We've got to live a lap life. Hallelujah! 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 Oh my. My, he says, loving nobody but you, no other kiss from her lips but yours. No other arms must hold her but yours, and you know it. What a feeling. What a consolation. That is husband and wife, which is a type of Christ and his church. And when you go to your church, you may have the best pews in the city. You may have the highest steeple there is in the city. You may have the best pipe organ. You may dress the best. You may sing like a mockingbird. Oh. I ain't saying much, is it? I think the bride's supposed to sing like a dove, ain't she? You may sing like a mockingbird and all of that, but if you're kissing and flirting with the world, that kiss on the cheek of Christ, is a Judatarian kiss. So can you imagine how many in the morning around the Tri-Cities, they'll go to him, Master. Master. Oh my. If you're kissing and flirting with the world, that kiss on the cheek of Christ is a Judatarian kiss. He doesn't want nothing to do with you. He looks upon your wedding engagement ring and he finds a tablet moved. He finds love is gone. It's a form. He finds loyalty is gone. Lord, you commit fornication to the world. Go to dances, boogie-woogie party. Watch your dirty television programs. You're committing adultery with Christ. Call him your husband. Now, whether it's on the television or on your monitor through DVD or on your phone, if it's dirty, it's dirty. If it's filthy, it's filthy. Does the church want to kiss him? Sure they do. Why? They don't want to go to hell. But remember, the church is like a kissing cousin. She's a cousin to that little bride sent out there waiting for the wagon to take her home. She want his mercy? Sure she does. She want his blessing? Sure she does. She want eternal life? Absolutely. But she wants a kiss on Jesus and pop the old devil one right in the mouth too. Not with her fists, with her lips. I want to pop the devil one in my alright. Come on, devil, come on. No kissing from this mouth to the devil unless he wants to call this a kiss. Hallelujah. Come on, children. I want to blast that devil with his ungodly living. I want to blast the devil in the kingdom of hell with all of his darkness. I don't want to smooch around on the devil. I want to tell him he's a liar. I want to tell him he's lost. I want to tell him he's going to hell. I want to tell him Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Oh. You see, the living soul desires living communion with Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. For thy love is better than wine. More sweet, more reviving, more satisfying. More beneficial. Now you know, in order to drink wine, Paul told them in the New Testament, they didn't have water, of course, the way we do today, so they drank a little wine, but Paul told them, drink a little. A lot of folks don't know how to drink a little, do they? So most folks, like me, like you, they're better off to stay away from it. Just a little in a communion cup. Why? Because then he said, be not drunk with wine, words in excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. But this love here, you can't get too much. Now I'm warning you, it will make you drunk. And it will give you a hangover bad. And you talking about addicting. Once you ever get a hold of this love, it is so addicting you can't live without it. Oh my, you are worse than the biggest drug addict that ever walked the street. You are worse than the biggest alcoholic that ever worked on the street. Because once it gets down in your soul, you've got to have it or you will die. You cannot live without his love. It is more pure. It is more invigorating. It is more reviving. It is more satisfying. Wine bites like a serpent, Proverbs says. Wine is a mockery. But this love, oh, it is so sweet, so fresh. So reviving. Christ's love doesn't leave a sting behind it, nor a headache in the morning. Where's the black coffee? Praise the Lord. It's eternal and it's life changing. Oh, notice. Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 10. Let's couple this now with what she says about his love and his mouth. She so wants his kisses. Now she changes and says, I am my beloved. So her whole self is given to him. She says, I am my beloved's. These are the words of the bride now. And watch how she recognizes his desire is toward me. Now this can be said without revelation. But if you've been drinking on this wine and you're stimulated and you say it, glory. You understand? So when we drink on this wine and we become so intoxicated by his presence, it actually helps us to move beyond. I'm sorry. I'm low down. I'm no good. I'm no count. I ain't worth nothing. Jesus said, drink a little of this. I'm sorry. I'll never melt the name. I ain't no good. But thank God, I think I'm saved. I mean, I think I'm saved. Man, that was good. Glory to God, I got the Holy Ghost. And I got baptized in Jesus' name. And I'm feeling pretty good. I am my beloved. I am my beloved. Why? She had been drinking the wine of his love. It gave her a boldness. It stimulated her. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's why Peter could stand up there on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that that was spoken by the prophet Joel. She was feeling pretty good now about chapter 7, verse 10. I am my beloved's. His desire is toward me. Now you're talking about amazing. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 16, when God placed the curse on the woman, he said, your desire, your husband will rule over you, and your desire shall be to your husband. But now here, the same Hebrew word is used, and it's Jesus desiring the church. He reversed the curse. Oh, Jesus. The woman got in trouble because of that sex desire, and God said, he'll be your ruler, and your sex desire will be into your husband. That's where it's supposed to funnel to. But here now the bride looks around, and she sees, and she's been drinking on the wine of his love, and she said, I am my beloved's, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. His desire is toward me. His desire is not toward the Catholic Church and the denominations and all the rest of that. It is toward his bride. The word desire is ruling appetite. His appetite. His desire. His appetite that's ruling him. It's toward me. The new earth, all that sort of thing, it's just a fringe benefit because I needed a place to live. His ruling appetite is you. Oh, his desire is toward me. It cannot be satisfied with any other thing. He has needs. We're the only ones that can meet them. Now watch her in verse 11. She says, come, my beloved. The word come is used by Christ all through this Song of Solomon. But now she is so been under his influence that now she's saved. The Spirit and the bride are saying, come. It was her being empowered by him. How could she ever have the boldness to stand and say what he said? Before it was him initiating this. Now it is her before was him telling her, come my beloved, come let's do this, come let's go here. Now she's standing there in chapter 7. Now she's standing here in church age 7. Oh, hallelujah, saying, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come, my beloved. The church, the bride, is now making the call. Lord, children, it's not him. It's not him making the call. It's her. Come, my beloved. What's it for? It's his desire of his presence. The manifestations of his love. Come, my beloved. Let us go forth. Let us go forth. Can you imagine how this makes him feel? Amen. For chapter after chapter, verse after verse, it's been him nudging her. Him pushing her. Him telling her. Now she's standing there telling him, come. Come on. Come. Oh, hallelujah. She has been emboldened by the wine of revelation. She has been emboldened. Her thinking has changed. This is not arrogance. This is not pride and selfishness. It is his thinking. Lord, Lord, it is his thinking now speaking out of her. He through her is saying his own words. She is now entered into her position to where she is now pleasing him. She's not having to be begged to go to church and begged to live right and begged to do this and other. But she's saying, I'm ready. I'm ready to live right. I'm ready to go to heaven. I'm ready to lay this stuff aside. Come, beloved. Come, Lord Jesus. We're ready to have church. Come, Lord Jesus. This cannot happen through the lips of the prophets. It must come through the lips of the Son. Through the kiss of reconciliation. Oh, come, my beloved. Let us go forth into the field. Let's get away from the crowds. Let's get away from the city life. Let's get away from everything that busies us. Let's go out into nature. Let us go out into the fields. Now watch her. She's the one that's speaking. She's actually calling the direction of where they will go. Come, my beloved, let us go into the field. Let us walk. Let us lodge in the villages. Let's go into the field and let us lodge in the villages, places of retirement. Let's shut the door. Turn off your droid, your iPhone, your computer. Praise the Lord. Let's get alone with God. Come, my beloved. I'm going into my prayer closet. Meet me there. Come, my beloved, I'm shutting the door. I'm taking the phone off the hook. I'm laying my phone outside. I ain't answering. I don't care if it rains 57,000 times. Come, my beloved, let us walk in peace and serenity. Oh, the bride urges. She urges her beloved to come with her. I wonder how Jesus would feel if Saturday evening before church, Wednesday evening before church, Sunday morning before church, a few folks started talking to him and telling him, oh Jesus, meet me in church tonight. Meet me in church, Lord. Oh, let's leave this old world, Laodicea. Meet me, Lord. Let's go in heavenly places. Minister to those that are sick. Lord, meet me there. Meet me there, Lord. Meet me there. I'll give you my love. Watch her in verse 12. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourishes. Whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. Now remember, he had come knocking on her door over in chapter 5. But she was asleep. And he knocked and he knocked and she finally woke up. And here she comes up to the door and he's gone. But in chapter 7, she's now making the invitation. Let's rise early. Why? It was the rising of the sun. The sun hadn't rose in chapter 5, Luther's age. Hadn't rose in the Laodicean age. It hadn't rose, but it had to come right down at the end, going out of Laodicea into the bride time. Hallelujah. Then the bride could say, let's get up early. Let's get up early. Notice what she's doing. That's the spring has always, even in heathen culture, spring has been a sign of love. A sign of revival. What's she looking at? She's wanting that renewal. Is our love the same as it was when we first got married, Lord Jesus? What's she looking at? She's wanting to see the pomegranates. Are they still alive or in the dead of winter? You ever get in the dead of winter if you walk with God? Where it is like on the outside, and you know all the trees are gray and brown and ain't nothing pretty hardly out there at all? That's a winter time. Our love life can get that way with the Lord Jesus. And we need a revival. Don't you see it? He may always say, I wish God would do this and do that. He may be waiting on you. He may be waiting on you to say, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready to get out this winter time, this old cold harsh thing, Lord. I don't want to wait on Groundhog's Day. I don't want to wait on the 1st of April. I'm sick of it now, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Oh, let us get up early and go to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourishes. Whether the tender grapes appear. And the word there, the Hebrew is open. So it can prove itself to be a grape. See, a lot of folks have been around the message for years and years just like this. And they look like a grape, but they wasn't a grape. But now it's opening time. And when they're coming out of their shell, we found out they wasn't a grape at all. We're not sure what that was, really. We're still trying to figure that out. But what is it? It's manifestation time. So she said, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of manifesting time, Lord, because I know who I am. I don't know about you. I'm not afraid. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm so scared. I'll be on the wrong side. I ain't. I know who I am. I know who I belong to. I know who owns me. I know who redeemed me. I know what's in my soul. I am not afraid of manifesting time. Put me in the fire. I got good gold. Come on, children. I'm not afraid of testing and trying. God will help us. Oh, she says, and the pomegranates bud forth, there will I give thee my loves, plural. Look how she's grown in her understanding that she doesn't just say, I'll give you my love. Her understanding has so expanded under drinking this strong drink. That if he says one of her eyes caught him, she says one of my eyes overwhelmed him. He's smitten by me. He can't live without me. He died for me. He raised from the dead for me. He's coming back for me. He can't live without me. He made heaven for me. Brother, he ain't got a gold wedding band. He made the streets out of gold for you. Oh, hallelujah. You ain't got a little bitty tiny diamond on your hand. The foundation of the walls is out of diamond. You talking about a place? Why? You left him so smitten before the foundation of the world. He went up there in heaven and started creating all these beautiful things for a woman's taste. Verse 13, she says, the mandrakes give a smell. And at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old. Of course, this was an allusion to the custom. Whenever a couple would get married, they'd go to the bridegroom before he'd ever bring the bride in. And they'd decorate around the doors and the entrance, the gates on the outside of the yard and in the door coming in. then have all kinds of fruits and flowers and vegetables. So here she says, the mandrakes are giving a smell, which of course in the Old Testament was used for, they thought. Remember whenever Reuben went out and got some mandrakes? Whenever Rachel and Leah had the argument back and forth about it? They thought it had something to do with conception. Used also as an aphrodisiac. And here the bride is saying, the smell of the mandrakes. I am fertile. I'll conceive your seed. My time is here. Lord Jesus. And she's the one doing all this talking. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee. Oh, my beloved. Now as we close with this thought, what have you laid up for Jesus tonight? Did you lay aside any time before you come to church? 5 minutes, 10, 30? Just set aside just a little bit of time for your heart to be prepared for the word. Did you lay all kinds of pleasant fruits and hang things at the entryway of your door? You said, come in, my beloved. I've laid these up for you. Let's go smell the vines, the pomegranates, the grapes. As the grapes and the seven seals burst open, and we'll find out who we are. Hallelujah. And the smell of the mandrake. It is here, my beloved. All this I have done for you. Come, let us take our fill of love. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray, my Father, illuminate us, Lord. May the north wind blow upon our spices. We know, Lord, even as aromatic as certain trees and plants and herbs and things would be, they don't have a built-in fan. And they might not pulsate any farther than just a few feet beyond the bush or the tree itself. So we as the bride, we ask that the north wind would come and blow on us. Let the south wind retire. We know that's the epitome of our lives, living between those two poles, north and south. Between north and south is everything that we are. All the troubles in the earth, all the troubles in humanity are in between north and south. Our life is a life of contrast between the north and south. The north blows in the cool. The south brings the storms, as it was in the east anyway. The south brings in the hot weather. But the north, the breath of God, was what was walking in the cool of the day. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, blow across our spices. Help us, Father, that we can just sit here at the table of the King and let our spikenard arise in the nose of our King. Let our King look at us longingly, and may we, without hesitation, say to our King, kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. I believe, my Father, that's what you've done right here tonight. Your kisses of your grace, your mercy, your illumination. You've kissed us over and over again in this service. Hallelujah. Lord, maybe there's some here that need healing in their body. Come and kiss the symptoms away, Lord God. Some that's depressed, some that's weary. Come and kiss the depression away. Kiss us, Lord Jesus, the kisses of your mouth. Hallelujah. Years ago, for me to bow down and kiss your feet would have been such an honor, to kiss the robe of your garment. But now, Lord, I've grown, and I thank you for that. So now, Lord, I'm not kissing your robe. I want your mouth. That's why I need this message of this day. I must be illuminated by the light of this hour. Oh, thank you for this message. that people ridicule it, criticize it, run it down. While they're making fun, we're kissing. While they're laughing and doing whatever they're doing and calling us crazy, let them say whatever they want. We're just being kissed by the mouth of the King, by the evening light through the Word. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And it's perfectly legal because we got a marriage certificate. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. All those of you that are married tonight to Jesus, don't you just raise your hands. Just imagine you're doing now as a woman that her husband's coming in from work and he's been out there in Laodicea and he's heard so much garbage and junk and trash all day, and your home ought to be a little heaven. What it ought to be. Husband walks in the door. There stands his little wife. She's got her hair all combed and pretty. She got the house nice. He comes in wore out and exhausted. She meets him at the door and kisses him and leads him over to the table. Goes over and sits in his lap. Said, you have a bad day? Oh, it was awful. Them guys at work, I'll tell you what, they tormented me. Oh, darling. Oh, I want you to know how much me and the kids love you. We appreciate you making a living for us. And oh, let me just take you into my arms. Oh, little bride, won't you meet Jesus at the door? Meet him at the door with a kiss. Oh, Lord Jesus, come into my arms, my King. Hallelujah. Can you imagine Jesus so condescending that he would come to your little house and let you set him down in your little chair? Can you imagine him condescending to such a place? He would let you lead him over and set him down in the chair. And then he would let you sit down in his lap. If you can sit down in the lap of the Almighty God, you're a privileged woman. I'm telling you that right now. Because it ain't every woman, church, that gets to sit in the lap of the King. Oh, if you're sitting there tonight, why don't you just put your arms around him? Just lay your little head over next to him. Oh, sweet Jesus. You've been blasted this week. People ridiculed you and made fun of you. Jesus, my darling, my Lord, my lover, my King. Oh, I thank you for dying for us. I thank you for redeeming us. I thank you for setting us free. Oh, imagine Jesus saying, oh, my love, your love is greater than wine. I feel invigorated. I feel refreshed. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, if you've got a need tonight, Lord, let us meet it. Lord, as Brother Darrell was telling me back in the office, he may be preaching it tomorrow over in South Carolina. I just heard Brother Branham say it yesterday, that little woman come into that room that day, and there you was with a need. And she didn't have no way to meet that need, but you had a need. And the prophet of God said, you furnished the water through the tears of her eyes. And you furnished the towels, which was the hair of her head. And she met your need. And he says, the need of the Lord God. And he says, sinner, he has a need tonight for you. Lord, if you have a need tonight to be loved and adored and worshiped, let us meet that need, Lord Jesus. You've met thousands times thousands of mine down through the years. Let me meet your need tonight, Lord. You don't need money. You don't need a car. You don't need a tie, a suit. But you're craving for love. You're craving for godly, holy attention. Oh, Jesus, take mine. I'll sit in your lap, Lord, and put my arms around you. I'll tell you not to worry about what Laodicea calls you. I'll tell you, don't worry about what they say about you. And I'll do my best to drive that away with my love and my kisses, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I have been emboldened by your wine. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. We
Will you minister to him tonight, Happy Valley? No matter what the person is doing beside you or around you, if they're going to stand there and let Jesus sit there with his head not being anointed and no kiss, you ain't going to do him that way, are you? If he's got a need tonight to be anointed and Jesus would want to be kissed, is there anybody here tonight that'll bear the reproach of the word and kiss him? Let people get on websites and do what, call us whatever they want to call us. That's all right. I count it an honor to bear the reproach of Jesus. I count it an honor. The prophet of God said when that little woman got up, she had that frankincense and all that stuff all over her face. Her face was oily. Her hands were oily. Looked like a mess. Amen. But Jesus looked at her and said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. She bore the reproach of the word, and the word bore the reproach of her sins and took them away. That's all right. Let's be laughed at. Let's be made fun of. Let's bear the reproach of this word. And one day the word will take us out of this place. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just worship him a little bit now, children. Forget about where you're going out after church. Let's just take a few minutes and think about in the presence of the King, what an honor that you've been given to meet the King at the door and lead him over to your chair and sit down in his lap and just kiss him. Tell him how much he means to you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
When the music fades,
kiss him now, children,
and all is sleeping,
with your praises. Kiss him with the adoration of your heart. How you feel. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus.
Longing just to breathe.
Yes, Father.
Something that's of worth.
Thank you, Lord.
That will bless your heart.
Yes, my Lord.
I'll bring you more than a song.
Oh, you don't want just a song, Lord.
A song in
our hearts, our hands, our lips.
Not what you
everything
have
we are.
Required.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus.
You search much deeper.
Lord God, I worship you. I bless your name tonight, Lord God.
You
kiss the Son. Bless you, the
end.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It's all about you.
All about you.
It's all about you.
Oh, let's worship him, children. That's it. Let's just
I'm
worship
sorry,
him.
Lord, for the thing I made.
Don't worry about your needs now, somebody.
It's all about
Jesus has
you.
Needs. Let's minister
it's
to him.
It's all about
hallelujah.
You.
Will you meet him at the door?
I'm
will
coming
you send his
back
life?
To the heart of
hallelujah.
The
world. Hallelujah.
Oh, it's all
Lord
about
Jesus.
Lord, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made.
Let's get away from the house and away from the sin. Let's get away from the busyness around us. Let's go to the villages. Let's see the vines as they flourish.
King of endless
world. Let's smell the mandrakes.
No one could express how much you deserve.
God, I bless your name. I worship you, Lord.
One we can fold.
Oh, Jesus.
All I have is yours.
All I've got is yours.
Every single breath.
Hallelujah, Lord.
I'll bring you more than
oh, yes.
A song.
We don't want
for the song is.
We don't want routine, Lord.
It's not what you have required.
You
much
Night, Lord. Dear God, we thank you for being with her, bringing her through these different things in her body. Lord, we're asking you tonight, Father, for a complete deliverance for her, Lord. Heavenly Father, we obey your word. We just give our hands to you tonight. Lord Jesus, to be able to lay upon her. Lord, you see this medication that she's taken, Lord, and she'd like to be free from that stuff, Lord. I pray the Spirit of God would move forward. Oh, Lord Jesus, may she be able to sit in your lap, as it were, run her fingers through your hair and look into your precious eyes. Oh, hallelujah. Lord Jesus, may she then in turn feel the healing virtue. Hallelujah. As it flows through her body. Make her well tonight, I pray, dear God.
This is my day. This is my daily bread.
Lord Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
Your very word.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we pray.
Spoken.
Thank you, Father.
To me. And I. I'm desperate for you. Without you, Jesus, and I, I'm desperate for you.
Oh yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Jesus,
thank you, Lord.
And I, I'm lost without you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. And I desperate for you.
Jesus,
and I,
come on,
Lord, I,
come Blessed be your name, Lord God. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Oh, hide us in the cleft of the rock, Lord. Let us whisper into your ears, dear God, those things, Lord, that desire your heart, Father, the longing for a bride. Oh, God, as Adam looked in the garden, Lord, there was two of every kind, Lord. There is alone, oh God. Oh, Father, there was no one like him there, Lord. And there we lay on a sea, dear God, in the midst of Satan's garden, Lord. You stand, but there's a bride here, Lord. One just like you, Lord Jesus. Bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, spirit of your spirit, Lord. The spirit and the bride say, come. Blessed be your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. If you're sick tonight, just raise your hands to him. Let him kiss the pain away. Let him kiss the hurt away tonight. Oh, just lay it in his feet tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lay your sicknesses and your fears, your oppressions, your worries, your tribulations. Just lay it at his feet tonight. Hallelujah. Just worship him and love him. He's our King. He's our God. He's our comfort. He's our joy. He's our shield. He's our buckler. He's our friend. He's our bridegroom. He's our physician. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. With him we can do all things. Without him we can do nothing. He is our all and our all. He's our very breath, our very heartbeat. Oh, hallelujah. Come away, my love. Come away, Lord, to the secret place. Hallelujah. The world knows nothing about, Lord. The world, the churches knows nothing about, Lord. Hide us away in the secret place, Lord. And reveal to us from the opening of your word, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't he wonderful tonight, Riz? Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's just sing a song as we're dismissed tonight. Oh, isn't it good to be in the house of God? Amen. Oh, friends. How much more can we hear? It's changing us. The word is changing us. Like the stimulation of the wine, each drink, it changes your feelings. It changes how you perceive things. The word, as we're drinking in the word, it's changing the way we perceive things. It's even changing the way we see ourselves. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I was listening to a tape. It was a woman standing before the prophet and he says, I see. He says, you've been in an evangelical meeting before. Said it's kind of a small man, thin hair. He said, why, it was me. I prayed for you. He saw himself in the vision. Oh, surely through the opening of this word, priest, we're starting to see ourselves in the vision. God had a dream, and I am the dream that he dreamed. Hallelujah. I'm seeing myself in the vision. Amen. Hallelujah. Why, it's me, like the little boy in the mirror. Mama, it's me. It's me. Amen. How many can say that tonight? Can you see yourself in the... Can you say it's me? He has a desire. And that desire is towards me. It's me. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Amen. May God richly bless you. Let's just sing the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Dismiss in the fear of the Lord. Come back in the morning. Remember the service. Pray for each other. Lift one another up. We are one in the Spirit. We are a band of brothers. We need each other. We're going together. We're leaving no hoof behind. Hallelujah. We're not staggering out of Laodicea. We're not staggering out of Laodicea like someone that staggers out of a plane wreck or staggers. We're not staggering. We are marching out of Laodicea. We are the bride of Jesus Christ, marching like an army. Hallelujah. An invincible army. that the captain of the host, our Lord, is leading us into battle. El Gabor tonight. Hallelujah. Be brave, warriors. Be strong, warriors. The hour is upon us. Amen. God bless you richly. Sing something for a preacher. Amen. God bless you. Say, do you love him tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Spirit and the bride ascend up. Elect to be in service inside their hearts. Our united time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forever.
Oh, I can't wait. Amen.
Oh, evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. Granted to her, she's washed in the blood of God's own Son. With righteousness that's not our own, we're just before His throne.
Hallelujah.
Before His throne, where she.